Good afternoon. In 1990, Saddam Hussein started raining Scud missiles down on the land of Israel. It's a really tremendously miraculous time. And miraculously, I think maybe one person was killed, if I remember correctly. But mamash, missiles and missiles and missiles were landing in Israel. That time it wasn't the Iron Dome, but there was another, the Patriot missiles were... The United States gave Patriot missiles, and they were intercepting the Scud missiles. It was a whole discussion. It was 1990. And at that time, Yeshiva University sent an airplane, a delegation, like a mission to Israel of a bunch of YU guys and girls from Stern and some rabbanim. Some of the rabbis went along on the plane. They chartered a plane. They went to Israel to show we're going to stay in our land, even despite the fact that the missiles are raining down. So Rabbi Binyamin Yudin, Rabbi Yudin's father, Rabbi Binyamin Yudin was one of the rabbis on the plane. And one of the things they did is they went around visiting various great Torah scholars and different places in Israel, talking to them to give chizuk. So Rabbi Yudin was by Rav Shach. He went to visit Rav Shach, who was the Rashiv of Panovich, and he had a group of people there with him. And they went in to Rav Shach, and... they asked Rav Shach, what does Rav Shach think that the Jews of America could do to help the people of Israel during this difficult time that everyone was mamish terrified? There were missiles, people were going into sealed rooms, everybody had gas masks, people were wearing gas masks because they were afraid that the missiles had warheads that had gas, and so everyone had gas masks, and basically a lot of times people would, in the middle of the night, there'd be a siren, people would have to... you have to have a special room in your apartment that was a sealed room that the gas couldn't seep into, and everybody was in their sealed rooms in their gas masks, like for months. It was like this. So he asked Rav Shach, what does he think the Jews of America could do to help the situation? So Rav Shach said, don't make mass prayer rallies. Don't make big Kabbalahs to change your whole life, change the whole way everything's going. Don't do big things. He said, the key thing is everybody in America should take upon themselves one little thing that they're going to do better on behalf of the Masav in Israel. One little thing they're going to do that they didn't do, one little thing do better. That's what he thought was the most important thing. If everybody tries to do one little thing a little bit better, one mitzvah that they didn't do so well, they're going to take upon themselves to do better. One Aveira that they were doing a little bit, they're going to take upon themselves not to do one small thing. Laman, that's what Rav Shach thought would be the best thing to do. So Rabbi Yudin was very moved and inspired, so he turned to leave. So as he's leaving, Rav Shach says to him, and in the merit of the fact that the Jews of America are going to take upon themselves, I'm also going to take upon myself something. So Rabbi Yudin tells over the story, can you imagine? What was it that Rav Shach needed to take upon himself? He says, like, we're listening with bated breath. What was the Gadol Hador? What did he need to take upon himself? What was he going to take upon himself? So he tells the story that Rav Shach said, he was already 90 years old. You see, he said, I'm hereby going to take upon myself from now on, I'm always going to bench with a bencher. I'm not going to say benching Baal Peh, I'm going to bench with a bencher, always inside. So, when I heard that story, so my Kabbalah for that year was I was also going to bench. I'm always very mock, but always also after that story, bench to the bench. But why am I telling you this story? So obviously, one reason I'm telling you this story is to give you the perspective on what a Gadol Batorah thought was the best thing that you could do for somebody when they're far away. We now find ourselves in a situation where Am Yisrael, that's an Eretz Yisrael, is in an Eis Tzara, and it's appropriate that as a zechus to those people there, everybody should take upon themselves something. And bichlal, even taking a step before that, and the main thing that I really just wanted to emphasize today is how one is supposed to feel when there's a Jew anywhere in the world who's in pain, that we are one family and we're really supposed to feel that pain. Chazal called it, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, one of the 48 ways, I've spoken about this before in the Hashkafa Shir, but Noseh Ba'olim Chaveiro, that someone should, how to feel other people's pain, how to really empathize and feel people's pain. A lot of times when we do chesed, so we like to do chesed in the way that's good for us. What fits into our schedule, what fits into our program, we could do that. But the whole key with doing chesed is actually to try to put yourself in the seat of somebody else and try to figure out what would that person really benefit from. You know, there's a halacha by a shiva house, there's a halacha that you're not supposed to speak first. You're supposed to let the avel speak. So I remember one time, a long time ago, going to visit one of my chaverim, who unfortunately his father died at a very young age. So I remember asking him, he was very, very intense. He told me that, you know, the way he understands the chazal, it's not, what's the pshat that you're supposed to wait for the other person to talk? Because you're not, some people, you know, they go to a shiva house, aside from the famous video of things not to say in the shiva house, aside from that, but, okay, that's a joke, but there are really people who go to shiva houses and they just talk the whole time. They're like monopoly, meaning people coming to be Menachem Avil. But the halacha is not that way, and what this person was sitting shiva, his understanding and why the halacha was not that way is because you have to see the way the person wants to be comforted. Like this particular person at the shiva house didn't want to really be talking about it, his father, for a bunch of reasons. Not important to go into why. He didn't want it. But everyone's coming to say, your father this, your father that. That wasn't the necham of him, because he didn't want to talk about that. That's the whole yisod of the halacha he was tining, that you have to wait to the avel to talk. It's not just that you have to actually wait for the avel to talk. You have to wait to see what does the avel want to talk about. Because any time you want to do a chesed for somebody, you want to be nosei ba'olam chaver, you want to help somebody out, you don't help them out in the way you want to be helping them out. You got to think and say, what's taka going to be a help for them in a way that they actually want to be helped? So I think that nakuda by itself is a very, very important nakuda. That bichla A, two points in introduction. A, when there's a Jew somewhere else in the world who's in pain, it should bother all of us. And I think sometimes I keep hearing news from Israel every day, more attacks. Your senses get dulled a little bit. You just, oh, okay, another attack in Israel. You know, we're like used to it already. We can't get used to it. If there's a Jew, if there's a family that's in pain, another stabbing, another attack, there's something, we can't get used to it. We have to have that same sense, and it's hard because our nature is, okay, they're 6,000 miles away. We don't know the people. If you don't know the people, and they're far away. So, of course, it's true. When you know the person, it means more of a rosha, no question. There's your immediate family, and then there's your extended family. You don't have the same relationship with your immediate family and your extended family, but we should at least feel that all of Klai Yisrael is our extended family. So there's two opening points. Number one, we should feel it. Number two, the Gadol Hador said the appropriate way to address it is to take upon yourself small things. Number three, generally speaking, whenever you try to comfort somebody or try to do something for somebody else, you don't do what you think is the right thing to do. You have to put yourself in their head and figure out what they want you to do as the thing. You know, when somebody's sick, somebody's in the hospital, what do you do? I remember last year a good chaver of mine. Sometimes the women have a lot more intuition about these things than the men, about what people really want. I have no clue what, B'liyai and Har, Baruch Hashem, you know, I've never been in a situation that's, sometimes you don't even know. Like, I had a friend of mine last year whose father was very, very, very sick. Ultimately, he ended up passing away. And I remember, he doesn't live in the New York area, but his father was in the hospital in the New York area, so he came in to the New York area. So I'm close to the guy, and I felt his father was very sick. I wanted to go to the hospital to be mechazik him. I knew I wasn't going to be able to go visit his father. I wanted to go be mechazik him. So one day I left, and I'm talking to my wife. Said, go bring him some food. I said, I'm sure the guy's got plenty of food. Why? My wife said, I'm telling you, stop off on the way. Go to a bagel place. I'm telling you, in the hospital, they don't always have, there's people running up and down. I'm telling you, it's a good idea. Go bring them food. So I, of course, you have to listen to whatever your wife says. I hope if you've been listening to this Hashkafa Shmooz enough that you know that, like, rule number one and rule number 10 and rule number 100 and rule number 1,000, the only rule of marriage is whatever your wife says, you have to do. So there wasn't a shadow. So I stopped off at some place, and he was there, and his mother was there. It turns out there were, like, 3-4 people there so I had bought, like, a few, bagels, and they were, like, so appreciative. So these people, they have a lot. It's not like they're lacking for stuff. But if at that moment they didn't have, and so you appreciate. But again, I wouldn't have thought to do it. But you know, and I wouldn't have thought it was. I wouldn't even thought it was important. No, I figured people know where the breakfast, lunch, and supper is covered. But you know, sometimes the women, they have to be there. It's sensitive. But your whole life is uprooted when you're in the hospital. So you got to think, what do people want? And what got me thinking about this, some of you may have seen this. I'm sure the Rabbeim saw it. But this is such a I found this to be extremely, extremely powerful when I read this this year. What does it mean? An exact hagdara of what does it mean for us to be nosei ba'olam chaveiro of the people, what's going on in Eretz Yisrael right now. I mean, Lomi Boy, I'll just give you as an addendum. My own niece goes to school. Her school is about a few blocks from the Tachan Americas, where the attack was the other day. And she says, we go to school every day carrying your mace. You got to carry your pepper spray, your mace, and your thing every single day. And like we were on lockdown and whatever. But just you just got to listen to this. So. So this is written by a woman in the land of Israel, who I happen to know. I know her husband very well. Her I only know a little bit. You know Rabbi Lerner from Great Neck, the rabbi in Great Neck. So his daughter, Shana, is married to a Judah Goldberg, good friend of mine. And they live in Alon Shvut. So basically, there's a Rabbi Goldberg who lives in Florida, Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, a good friend of mine. So he was also wondering about this question. We're all sitting here in America. What can we do to try to help our brothers and sisters? So he writes that rather than speculate, I pose this question to my brother and sister-in-law who live in Alon Shvut. They live, you know, Alon Shvut's Bichlal always in Alon Shvut is the safest place in all of Israel. But when you get out of Alon Shvut and you have to drive to Yerushalayim, especially now, it's always a sakana. I know plenty of people who say tefillas haderech every time that they go from Yerushalayim to Alon Shvut every single day because you're passing through all kinds of Arab towns and neighborhoods. And especially now, it's mamash pachad. So he says, I wrote my sister-in-law asking her, what does she think the people in America could do? So listen to what she writes. It's so poignant. Over the last week, I've gotten various emails from family, friends, and students in the U.S. reaching out to tell me that they are thinking of me and my family during this horrible and very difficult time in Israel. It means a lot to me and to everyone here to know that we are being thought about. That other people are thinking about us and thinking about what it must be like to live here right now. No one here wishes that our loved ones would truly understand what we are going through. But when someone writes and says that it is hard for them to just go about their normal life in America because they can't stop thinking about the changes in our day-to-day life here in Israel, it means a lot. It means that you really care. It means that you don't just sympathize, but you empathize. It means that you are really imagining the thoughts that are running through our minds round the clock and the little things that we just can't believe are part of our daily life right now. And listen to the details here. It means you might have realized that I drive to work with my doors locked, my windows closed, my cell phone set on the number of the local security command center, and my pepper spray next to me in the car. I sleep with a knife in my night table drawer. This is the mom. I sleep with a knife in my night table drawer. I had a conversation with my husband about what should happen with our kids, God forbid, and then wrote it down in my file cabinet because we don't yet have a formal will. I thought I was crazy until I heard that lots of people are doing similar things. I was sent a short movie by Magin David Adom about how to treat a stab wound. I watched a video on YNET on how to defend yourself against someone stabbing you and then sent it out to everyone I know. I was sent protocol from our yeshiva about what to do if someone is trying to shoot at your car, brake suddenly so that the bullets don't hit and then do a quick U-turn. I haven't shopped at my typical supermarket in 2 weeks because I can't yet bring myself to enter a store where Palestinians shop freely. I don't want to pick out my potatoes with one hand on my pepper spray. Mace, yeah. I thought twice and three times about whether I should let my third grader go on his class trip today. I watched him leave my house, gave him extra kisses, and had extra kavod in my tefillah, but I don't want to raise him to be scared. I've wondered whether the various Israeli Arabs that we have worked with in different capacities over our time here and had such nice relationships with are going to appear in the news any day. We thought they were peaceful until we saw that one of them had a WhatsApp picture of the light rail being stoned on his WhatsApp. I had to share with my son more than I would have because Nehemiah Lavi, who was killed 2 weeks ago, was his classmate's uncle, and the school let us know that the psychologist would be meeting with the class. I have a sister who now has doubled her driving time to Yerushalayim because the old route she took is more concerning. I just wish that I could stay in Alon Shvut all day. Ironically, the well-secured Yerushalayim are the safest place you can be right now. So that's one half of the email. The other half of the email And yet, if you also thought hard, and you know me well, you might have also realized that. I don't regret our Aliyah decision for a second. I feel as close to be living in the place where Jewish destiny plays out before our eyes. I know I am in the place where I'm supposed to be. My kids know it too. They have not once asked to go back to America. They live with a fierce commitment to the values our ancestors lived and died for. They actually understand the Hebrew word, the Hebrew words they daven daily, and thank us for bringing them here, the place they mention in tefillah all the time. I have bitachon that I am in Hashem's hands, that Hashem is in control, that if Hashem wants something to happen or not happen, it doesn't matter where I am, that Hashem knows what is best, even if we don't always understand. I have emunah that eventually things will improve, that this will also pass, and that we will wake up to a brighter day. The people of Eretz Yisrael are strong. I smiled and then I cried today when I saw two teenage girls standing in the middle of the big traffic circle at Soman HaGush, all alone, just swinging huge Israeli flags out there in the exposed open because they want to send a message. For many of us, it is our kids who keep us strong. Some of us have kids who are chayalim, who couldn't come home for Shabbos when they were supposed to because of the matzav, yet they go out and serve their country proudly and bravely and without complaint. I have younger kids, but today I heard one kid tell another that we need to be working on our midos. So that Hashem looks upon us and all Am Yisrael favorably. That gave me chizuk. It made me feel a little stronger. It gave me something to do because there's not much else that we can do. So, if you are thinking about us, she says, daven a little harder, learn a little extra, be a little nicer, give a little more tzedakah, work on your midos a little, and let us hope that Hashem looks upon us favorably and says enough is enough. Thank you for thinking about us. It means a lot. So, I was very moved by this email. And again, I think it just highlights... it just highlights the fact that obviously no one here is going to be able to stop a guy from knifing somebody. And I know oftentimes we feel very, very frustrated saying, what is it that we can do? So if you listen to what Rav Shach said and you listen to what Shana Lerner Goldberg said and you listen to what the people of Israel are saying, they're saying, we understand. There's not much that you could do, but you could be thinking about us. You could be caring about us. You could be trying to do little things a little bit better. Small little things. We each know what small little things that maybe we don't do as well. Maybe we're not coming exactly on time. Maybe we're not using every moment the right way. Maybe we're saying certain things to people that we shouldn't be saying. Maybe we're getting the disagreements that we shouldn't be doing. Whatever it might be. Maybe we're looking at things that we shouldn't be looking at. Whatever it might be. Small little things. That's what Rav Shach told Rabbi Yudin in 1990. That's what she's saying over here. Small little things. We're not going to... Small little things can change the world. To be nosei ba'olim chaveiro means that we shouldn't be mesiach das. We should be thinking about this. Again, not to the extent that we can't learn and we can't function, we can't daven, but it should be on our minds. It should be on our minds constantly. We shouldn't be able to just go through our regular day and have everything the way it's supposed to be. So hopefully Hashem will see the fact that we care and that we're thinking about Achenu B'nei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, that we'll take upon ourselves, B'li Neder, little things to make the matzah be better, and we're not gonna shirk our responsibilities for them. And hopefully Hashem will finally say, "Sheyomar Letzaro Seinu Dai." He'll see that we got the message. Klal Yisrael, Am Yisrael got the message, and hopefully he'll bring an end of our tzaros and Yeshuas and Gulos for everybody. Have a wonderful Shabbos, gentlemen.